We have our brother this evening, John David here. Get the wrong name here, but anyway, David here will bring us the message. He will be desirous of your kind attention and also your silent prayers for him as well. Brother David.
Thank you, Brother Marvin. I do appreciate any help I can get up here. I was never built to be a speaker, and it's kind of surprising the things you do when you're called upon to do them. I was terrible in speech class. I'm going to do something a little different this evening. In our blue hymnal, we have a song, and it's number 412. 412. And I was just thumbing through it at a prayer meeting, seeing if I wanted to sing a song out of this. And I saw this, and I thought, boy, you know, I've never even read this that I remember. But that doesn't mean much. I don't remember a lot of things that I should. I wanted to read this song to you, number 412 in the blue hymnal. I saw a mighty angel fly. To earth he bent his way, a message bearing from on high to cheer the sons of day. Truth is a message which he bears, the gospel joyful sound, to calm our doubts, to chase our fears, and make our joys abound. He cries, and with a mighty voice, ye nations, lend an ear. Let isles and continents rejoice, the great Redeemer's near. He cries, let every tongue attend, and thrones and empires all. Fear God and make the King your friend, the King, the Lord of all. Fear God and worship Him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea. Fear Him on whom your sins were laid, who died to make you free. When I looked at that song, I thought, boy, there's a lot in there. And so I decided, well, there is a lot in there. So what I'm going to try to do this evening is to kind of look at some scripture that kind of goes along with this song. And the first thing I did was I looked up the meaning of angel. What do people think that angels are? And some of the definitions I came up with was, first off, you have the angel of God. And that's one thing you have to remember. Satan has his too. But the angels of God are messengers of God. We ordinarily understand a race of spiritual beings of a nature exalted far above that of men, whose office is to do him service in heaven and by appointment to succor and defend men on earth. Their number is large, their strength is great, their activity marvelous. Their appearance varies, but is often brilliant and dazzling. I could relate to all those meanings. And I don't know if everybody believes in angels the way I do or not, but when the Spirit comes down and touches you and you know it's an angel, it makes a pretty quick believer in you. I don't know that I've ever seen an angel fly. If you have, then you've seen something that isn't ordinarily done. They usually just appear. But I was visited by a spiritual being that never spoke to me. And I found that as something that was strange, but it was very convincing, and it gave me assurance and gave me no doubts or fears. And that was a time when my appendix had ruptured and I was laying what felt like in my deathbed. I'd been to see the doctor and he put me on medication, and I was getting worse, worse by the hour. And in the middle of the night, I took it to the Lord and I said, "Is this it? Is this the end of my life?" Because that's how bad I felt. And that angel just appeared beside me and let me know that what I was thinking about was the truth and the way to go. And that was, I'm not taking any medication anymore. Because I thought the medication was probably what was giving me such a bad time. I didn't think the infection was what was killing me. It was the medication. Talk to Amy Moser about that. Every chance she gets, she's putting something on Facebook about the dangers of the medications. I got up and went to the doctor the next day, and he said, "If you stop that medication, you're going to be back in here for more surgery and for more trouble that you don't need." I walked out of his office and destroyed the medication and never went back to that doctor again. And I got better from that hour on. I followed after what that spirit had given to me. I've never been sorry that I listened to that one that had come to me to give me a message. And it's never wrong to do that, to listen to what you're given. I want to go to the book of John, chapter 14. Verse 27 is the one that I have written down. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You know, there have been many times when my heart was troubled and I knew there was trouble coming, and just those words came to me. Said, "Don't worry about it. It's taken care of." One of those times, one of the first times that I remember that happening to me was when I was, after my dad had died, and I was taking care of the farm and going to school and doing everything I could. And I actually came in from the field because I knew something was wrong. I knew something was going to happen. And I had made it a matter of prayer that everything was okay. And when I saw my mother, I said, "Is everything okay here at the house?" She said, "Well, yeah, it is. But the girls went down after the mail, and our mailbox is 3/4 of a mile away, and it was a very hilly road, dirt country road." And she said the girls were walking in the middle of that road, and they saw dust just as they were coming up on the steep part of the hill, and Jeannie and Joni got out of the way just as that car popped over that hill and would have hit them if they hadn't moved. Now, why that was revealed to me, I don't know, but maybe it was my prayer as I was out there in the field working that protect my family. Sometimes things just come to you like that, and there's no explanation why. But we know that there are angels watching over us. There's good spirits that are giving to us the truth, showing us the way. Verse 2 of that song says, Truth is the message which he bears, the gospel joyful sound, to calm our doubts, to chase our fears, and make our joys abound. When you see that something is so close to harming you or your loved ones, it does give you great joy when you find out that you've been protected, that somebody that was beyond our understanding knew and came and guided us. When we look at as Bob was speaking this morning, we look at the time we live in. We look at the prophecies that are given to us. These things are part of watching. We're told to watch. I want to go to Revelations, the third chapter. These are the words of Christ, verses 10 through 13. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man may take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. You know, we are a body of people, and we make up a church. And so these words are directed right at us, that we should obey the commandments of God. The things that he protects us from, the things that he tells us are coming, he helps us to avoid temptation. Just as Christ was tempted by Satan and he avoided it. I want to go over to the 22nd chapter of Revelations. Read a couple of verses there. Verses 12 and 13 of the 22nd chapter of Revelations. Again, the words of Christ. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. We often hear about the kingdom of God. And we're told the meanings of the kingdom of God, because that was one of the things that Christ had to explain to people, what the kingdom of God was like. And I want to go to Matthew first, Matthew chapter 15. And he gave a couple of examples. I don't think I wrote that down right. When he was explaining what the kingdom of heaven is, it's chapter 20 of Matthew. Not 15, but 20. And these are a couple examples of what Christ said the kingdom of heaven was like. Starting with verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day long idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour. And thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thy eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen. Sometimes when I read this, it reminds me of something that happened to me when I lived in Nebraska. They had a train wreck. And this train was full of potatoes. And there were bags of potatoes everywhere on these upside down sideways cars, and they had to empty those cars before they could ride them up and put them back on the tracks or do whatever they had to do to them to get them out of there, get them hauled away. So they were advertising on the radio, anybody that's able-bodied, come and help. And they had this construction outfit that putting these ads out saying, come and help, come and help. And so everybody thought, well, the railroad pays good. So let's go. And so I went into town and signed up and worked all day. 100-pound sacks of potatoes, throwing them around. Some of the guys couldn't do it. And they had to quit. They couldn't take the physical labor. And then at the end of the day, when everybody went to get their paycheck, the construction company gave us minimum wage. And there were people that I thought were going to riot, because they knew that this construction company was getting paid top dollar from the railroad. But when you signed up, you didn't agree on a price. So I accepted what I got, took my sore muscles and went home. I didn't get mad. It was just like figures. But when I read this about what Christ says about the kingdom of heaven, you know, you shouldn't put yourself before somebody else. Say, well, I've worked a lot harder than him. I deserve more. Because we're not the ones in charge. The Lord is. And the Lord gave several examples of that, of the one who had invited everybody to a wedding feast and nobody showed up. And so he just went and got people out of the street said, come to my feast. And they did. And those people were blessed because they did come. The ones that were invited but made excuses not to come. Do we have those among us? You bet we do. People that know the truth, they know the message that God has given them, and they ignore it and make excuses for themselves. And they're not going to be as blessed as those people that came right off the street and said, sure, I'll go and have a feast. And we're glad to have it. I want to go over to Luke chapter 17. I'm going to read verses 20 and 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, and this is Christ, and the Pharisees were asking him, when the kingdom of God should come, when will it come? He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. How near are we to the kingdom of God? A lot nearer than we think, huh? Verse 3 of that song says, he cries, and with a mighty voice, ye nations, lend an ear. Let isles and continents rejoice, the great Redeemer's near. He is near, and he told us he would be. He told us he would be there to hear our prayers, to meet our needs, to share our burdens. And he gave his life for this cause as an example to us. I want to go back to Revelations again, chapter 5. And I'm going to read 11 through 13 in chapter 5 of Revelations. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts of the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. When we think about all creation, we think about the fact that Christ was there in the creation, and that he walked among us as flesh and blood. What a blessing that is. I want to go over to the book of John, chapter 14. I think I'll read verses 1 through 4, the words of Christ again. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. It's only through the Spirit, as Christ told Peter, you are blessed because it is the Spirit that has told you. You didn't learn this from man. You learned it from the message the Spirit gave to you. And that's the way it is with us. We learn from that Spirit. We learn from the messages that are given to us through that Spirit, whether it be through angels or through things unknown. Christ is near to us and He communicates with us. In John chapter 15, I want to read verses 12 through 15. Still the words of Christ. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greatly love, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord does, his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. That's part of why we go to church. It's part of why we study our scriptures, to learn, to understand. But that's not enough. We need the Spirit to speak to us too. Because all that Christ knew, He was given by the Father to give unto us. And we can't learn it all just reading a book. We have to live it. We have to experience it. We have to believe it and know it to be the truth. Verse 4 of that song. He cries, let every tongue attend, and thrones and empires all. Fear God and make the King your friend, the King, Lord of all. He created everything. And He lets us know the things that we have to know when we have to know them. I'm going to go back to Malachi. If you don't know where that is, that's the very last book of the Old Testament. I hope it's still there. Yes, it is. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. Over in the chapter 4, that same book, the next chapter, I want to read verses 1 through 3. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. One experience that I have that helps me to understand the fear of the Lord was one time when one of my kids had skipped school. And she called the school before school was out and said, tell my brother John to come pick me up at Burger King. Well, the school called me at work. They said, your daughter's not in school. I said, okay, I'll take care of it. And when I drove up to Burger King, I pointed my finger at her and gave her the little wiggle finger, "You come here." That look of dismay, because she didn't have any clue as to how I knew she was there or anything. And she looked at the ground, and she looked at her friends, and then she walked over, dragging herself over to my vehicle. That's respect. That's fear. Because we know that if we do not do what we are commanded to do, then we should have some fear. We should have respect for those that have authority over us. That's how I see fear of the Lord. And I want to go to, I think it's the First John, book of First John. Let's go to the 4th chapter of 1 John. I'm going to start at verse 16. "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." Doesn't that explain to you what fear is? It's not being afraid. It's love. It's liking the things that are good for us, the things that are commanded of us. So we fear the Lord because he's given us commandment. He's given us the rules and said, "Obey it. Follow after me." So we fear him, but we're not afraid. I want to go to Galatians, the first chapter. Verses 3 and 4. "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." Christ gave himself so that he could be a part of his Father's work. And if we go on to the next book of Ephesians, chapter 3 of Ephesians, verses 8 and 9. "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Paul telling us here that Jesus Christ was there in the beginning. He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Some of the things that Christ does are mysteries. Sometimes some of the things that we are told are mysteries to us, because our way and God's way is not the same way. Let's go over one more book to Colossians. First chapter of Colossians. I'm going to read 12 through 18. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That God is first. God in Christ and the Spirit are as one. And they should be first in our hearts, first in everything that we do, the respect or the fear that we have. They should come first. We shouldn't be afraid, because the things of this world can't harm us in the hereafter. I want to go back to Luke, chapter 15 of Luke. Verses 7 through 10. Here again, the words of Christ. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. When we think about how close the angels are, that they have joy. They have sorrow too, I'm sure, along with our sorrow. But they rejoice when they see that we've done all that we can do. I'm going to go over to Matthew chapter 18 and read one verse there. It's verse 10. Words of Christ. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. That telling us that our children, the innocent ones, have angels walking with them. Do they see those angels? Probably not very often. But we're told by Christ that those angels are there, and that those angels visit God daily. So then you might ask yourself, well, how can bad things happen to children then if they have their angels with them? Some things are beyond our understanding. Some things are God's way. And there's a reason for what God does. And we need to accept the reasons. We need to accept the fact that Christ told us the angels are watching. Doesn't mean that they're going to make everything our way. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't go our way every time. But we trust in what has been provided for us. I want to go back to Revelations again, verse 19, or chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that had the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. This angel which was revealing these things to John said, don't you get down and worship me. I am a servant. I am a messenger. I am not to be worshipped. You worship God. Put him first in everything you do. Back to Matthew. Chapter 12 of Matthew. Verses 41 and 42. Again, the words of Christ. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repenteth at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell therein. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it also be this wicked generation. That is, that is a warning to everyone that knows the truth. Don't quench the truth. Because if we do, it's going to be worse for us than if we'd never known the truth. And we don't want that. Going back to the book of John, the first chapter, in the 51st verse. Speaking of Christ again, and he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Does that sound like angels could fly? It does to me. And the disciples saw this happening. They saw Christ being administered to by the angels to give him strength, to give him those things that his flesh and blood couldn't handle. And those angels just flew in, strengthened him, gave him courage, gave him peace. When angels fly, it is for a reason. Whether it's for protection or achievement or instruction, whatever the case may be, the angels fly. Christ said that he would descend with his angels coming out of heaven in the latter days. The fifth verse of that song. Fear God and worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea. Fear him, on whom your sins were laid, who died to make you free. And the first stanza says, I saw a mighty angel fly. To earth he bent his way. A message bearing from on high to cheer the sons of day. It reminds me of a song that came out years ago, and I haven't heard it. It disappeared. But the name of that song was, I Believe There Are Angels Among Us. And part of the words said, they're sent down to us from somewhere up above. In our hour of darkness, they teach us how to live, and they guide us with the light from above. I truly believe that. Thank you for your time.